You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Welcome to the New Old Heads podcast. My name is Major Seven.
You're tuned in to episode
299.
Yeah,
299.
That's how it would. That's how.
Yeah, regular. Thank you. He threw me off with the Texas two gun. Good to see everybody though. Everybody in the building. Red Ox is back in the building. Oh man, Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
I'm really good today.
What?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some good news earlier today, so I'm really good.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Good news is great.
We like good news. Yeah. We like good news. My man, longevity is in the building. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing okay. I'm out here living life to the fullest.
Never mind.
In my seat over here.
Never mind.
It's great to have Red August back, you know?
Yeah, it is. I guess.
Nah, it is. Nah, I'm good. I bought a bike.
Oh, that's right. You did get the new fully equipped joint.
Yeah, I haven't got it in yet.
You balling?
Shipped yesterday. No. But
no.
But it's nice. It's nice, though.
DJ J Dill, what's happening, man? I apologize. How are you, sir?
I'm just sitting here again, you know, 2 weeks in a row.
You asked me how I was doing. I was, you know, I wanted to get into it.
You didn't expound on it.
I mean, you know, do you want me to answer the question?
I feel you. I don't want to leave my man hanging because I played him last week. So how's everything, brother?
Everything is everything. You know?
Yeah. Everything good?
For the most part.
Okay. All right. Well, it is good to see Red August, though. I'm not going to cap. It's good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Let's go. Let's
gonna be some editing here.
Do I need a censor button this episode or something?
Nah, man.
Now we're getting into the actual episode.
Yeah, okay. Now we're gonna go ahead and jump. Shout out to the chat too. We see y'all. Let's go ahead and jump into a topic here as we continue with the format. So sampling.
Wow. Say that five times fast.
I'm not going to even do it because Red August would laugh too much. I saw something that was shared on IG a long time ago. It was an interview with Prince, and he was talking about how detrimental it could be when the people that are sampling, how the hip-hop sampling had got out of control. He said eventually people are going to start sampling the sampled works.
That's going on right now.
He was like, it's really going to get OC. And then you flash to now, and this is where we are. And Prince was a visionary, obviously, but he literally called what's happening. So from a producer standpoint, Lone, I'll come to you first because I have two questions for you, but I'm going to save one for later as it relates to production. But the sampling, the sampled, do we look at that as almost like an alley-oop because nostalgia takes you back to the vibe of the original and then someone else can kind of sprinkle around it and try to make a hit record? You see what I'm saying? Like, If you sample a popular record from Jodeci, that's going to remind me of that no matter how you chop it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's necessarily a cheat code per se, but that's kind of weird the way they're being sampled because they're taking full loops of these records that were top records and not doing anything to them. The original hooks are still in there, all of that. Like, what do you think about that from a production standpoint?
I don't know, honestly. I always think it's weird to hear as a producer, I've always strayed away from sampling stuff that samples.
So like, yeah,
I've never sampled like a hip hop record that was sampling something. I don't know. I felt like it was like against the rules. And I mean, there really are no rules, but it was against my rules.
You have morals with it. That's
I just
all.
Felt like if I sample something that you do, that's super weird to me. I don't know. Like, if you make a record and then I sample you and you sampled somebody else, it's like, I don't know. It's just super, super interesting. I don't know if there's anything wrong with it, though, as long as you give credit where it's deserved.
That is important.
You know, and you follow the lineage. I will say that I think it's important to understand the history of music no matter what you're doing. I think that's, I think that portion is something that could very easily get left out, especially as you sample samples of samples. You know what I mean?
Good point.
I feel like the more it jumps into it, the less amount of money you could start making as an artist, because you're going to have to be paying just like a bazillion writers for everything, you know? So I mean, I don't know if I have a definitive take on this.
They might not clear the sample.
That's a good exactly. point.
Exactly. So that's a point. I don't know if we brought it up last week, but you know, if one person in that, if you're sitting in a room and you're making a song, you're like, yeah, let's sample this, and it turns out great, and then one person of the 75 owners says no, then you got to redo
screwed.
It.
Yeah,
you gotta, it seems like a waste of time. I don't know.
Or if the said artist that you sampled it from initially, they liked that particular way it was used, and then you want to sample it again, and like, nah, I'm not letting you sample it.
Yeah, there's just too many. I feel like there's just too many hands in the pot. You know, I'm all for collaboration, and if you can get it to work, that's cool. But I just don't feel like it's a smart thing to do. I don't feel like it's smart
it's
as
lazy.
A producer. It is lazy to an extent, because it's like, again, it lacks the whole aspect of up from a producer. In my opinion, it lacks the whole like doing your research aspect of it. You know, like mm-hmm. if I can sample Major chopping something up in a very specific way, you know, or whatever his loop is or whatever his chop is, then I feel like I'm kind of getting influenced off what he's doing and using his interpolation of something else
to take it another direction,
yeah. rather than listen to how the original composition was made and then putting my own spin on something, you know. And there's levels to it. I don't know if I'll ever really get super behind like sampling somebody that's sampling something, but realistically, it's mostly because it just doesn't make sense from what Fonte say? Why don't I make a new song and make new money? I don't know. Like it just doesn't make sense.
He's cut from that cloth though.
That's what I mean.
You know what I'm saying?
And he was talking about mixtapes when he said that, but I've always agreed with that. Like, why would I put out a mixtape that's like an album that's got a whole bunch of beats that are other people's rather than make new music and make new money when I own everything?
That. That's true.
Jump in there, Terry.
And I give, to your point, that's true, but I give Lil Wayne credit where credit is due, because he was annihilating those.
It was an era. He had to be there.
Yeah, you had mm-hmm. to be there. But as far as that's concerned, the sample, the most popular producer out right now, radio-wise, hit maker, that's all he does.
There is.
It takes samples that were samples and kind of manipulates it a little bit and puts his own little twist on it. But
what Diddy was doing.
Yeah, that's what Diddy was taking stuff that hadn't been sampled yet.
But they were
just looping it.
But they were like hit records.
Yeah.
They were definitely hit records.
It wasn't the same way. And that's kind of why I respect Dre a lot as a producer, because he was taking snippets and stuff from Parliament Funkadelic, but they had so much instrumentation in their music that you could pull from a section
yep.
and add to it, and you know what I'm saying, give it your own flavor. And I didn't see his production as lazy,
right,
so to speak. And I'm not gonna say all the producers of today are lazy as far as just taking something that's already been made and putting it back out there. But what it does is it kind of makes us, the older people, and we're pretty much in the same boat as our parents and everybody else whose music is being sampled.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is we came from an era where stuff was being sampled, and now people are coming back and pulling from that. So to us, it makes us feel a certain type of way. But in a sense, it's still no different than our parents was looking at.
Not really.
The music that was sampled when we were kids.
That's kind of why I'm like on the fence, really. Like I would never take a loop from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I heard a couple like stabs or something that I like, or a couple like short, yeah, I might position that in a different way. You know yeah. what I mean? Like I might chop something up that I hear that's sampled of something, but like that. But in general, there's no way I'm going to put a loop of something that's already a loop on something like that. It's just not going to do it.
To Terry's point about the producer that's, you know, popping off with the records, I actually think that it'll enhance the record because of people like us, or at least I'll speak for myself, that would be triggered when I hear that old sample and I'm like, oh, that's dope. And then it'll make me want to go listen to that record just because of how I felt when I heard the sample, if that makes sense. So to that point, I mean, it's smart because you're crossing generations. Like yeah. you can subconsciously bring people in. And just off nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, hey, get it. I wanted to ask you specifically, Lone, because we go through the routine as producers, and you know, sometimes it's I don't know, but we're from a different era.
Yeah, it's like that. It's sometimes I just have to get out of my own way and be like, yo, actually, this is kind of fire. So I'm
gonna
just use it and kind of, but.
Daymore, end this one for me, man. What you think? Cheat code, you like it?
You know, I guess it depends on how it's done. You know, just like anything else. You know, there are, when I think about, say, the Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets, think about how many times we've heard that that song. You know, Big Papa.
Yeah.
It was sampled three times.
Summer Miami by Jim Jones. You know, Ignorant
Man
by Jay-Z off the American Gangster album. Yep. You know, and these are three takes on the same sample. You know, but one of the things that I guess I would be concerned with if I was a producer and say somebody came behind me and, you know, sampled something I sampled that perhaps you're going to get to snitching on what I did. And I didn't, I produced this beat and I was able to get away with it because of the way I chopped and flipped some things. And then when it's time for you to come sample my chop and my flip of something else, then you get your lawyers on it and find the original and get to sample snitching on me.
Yeah.
And then you create a whole bunch of problems that I didn't.
That's true.
I did not sign up for.
That's a good point.
Do you think that people are still getting away with the blatant samples though? Because a lot of these are,
you can't,
as soon as you hear
Rick James or the Temptations or
Stevie, none of that.
But there's still some stuff out there off of crazy B-sides. If you just taken like a drum from here or just maybe a you know, like a stab or something, there are people. Look, right now it is Catch Me If You Can in the world of sampling, and it's been like that for a while.
It's the wild wild west,
but it's
right now,
but it's going far. But it's definitely going to change, and we talk about the technology of content ID and everything related to that. I would be, if my advice to anybody that's going to sample and it's not going to clear a sample, historically it's been, as long as you're not huge or you're not putting out a huge record, you're going to be okay. But think about your future. Think about the fact that, who knows, sure, put out a project today. Maybe you'll be fine. You put it out, content ID, you'll come through. But who knows what technology is going to look like in 5 years. It's going to be able to pick up a half of a second of something and be able to,
sometimes it does pick it up that fast. Mm-hmm.
It does sometimes. I think the technology is actually already there. Mm-hmm. So I would just be super, super careful about that. The content ID matches are crazy across just video as well. Like video, like it's
YouTube.
There. That's why, this whole sample splice industry and everything related to it. Hey, I just be careful. Like, this is why another thing, like, you know, not to go there necessarily, but in teaching, like, I intentionally teach every student I have, like, how to do this stuff.
Right.
And we don't use Gobinators in the chat. Like, I don't teach. You can't even use sample packs. I don't even allow it. Like, you can't use it because it's, I want you to be able to do it yourself and to be able to learn how to do these things, because long term, it's not going to be, I don't know, man, like, unless you're huge. Imagine putting a whole bunch of time into a project and you put it out and then you get blocked from your distribution channel because you're sampling somebody's stuff, and they, you know, then you can't even use that distribution company anymore. Or maybe you get sued in 5 years because they finally catch up to the technology with all the legal stuff.
And be clear, they will come back.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what? I wouldn't
paper.
Even be mad at that, because
no matter what,
I wouldn't be mad at people for a segment of time and weren't sampling anything. Because when you think of musicians back in the day, back when bands were the thing,
true,
like people got together and had actual bands, they were coming up with their own stuff.
Right.
So it's going to make the musician be more creative and think more outside of the box, rather than relying on, I got an idea from this sound that's already been created.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually built better musicians, personally.
You mean
they crack down on it. I see your point.
I
agree with that.
And don't get me wrong, I have nothing wrong with people getting their money that they're owed in that aspect.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, be careful if that's what you
definitely.
Do. You know what I mean?
Or look, be more creative with your sample.
For sure.
There was an era where, you know, the producers that we grew up watching and listening to, they could manipulate samples so well. You'd have to be ahead to find out what was going on in terms of the samples, because they chopped it up
Shook
so well.
Ones
it was
is a prime example of that.
There we go. Those joints, like there are people that have made so many of those joints that we grew up with. Where I'm like, hey, how did he do that? And you can't tell what it is to your sample snitching point.
Well, you know, when you listen to an album like the Beastie Boys' second album, Paul's Boutique, I don't think with now the sampling laws and everything being in place, there is absolutely no way they'd be able to even make that record and release it.
Yeah. Right.
Like, there's so much, they'll take something from, a little something from a movie, and maybe they'd be able to get away with some of it as far as fair use, but, you know, if they had to pay everybody... Like that, it would cost $50 million to make album
sure.
today.
It just wouldn't be cost benefit. There would be no benefit in it.
Yeah. I tell you what, though.
I think that album has something like 150 samples on it.
Bro, I tell you what, though. Yeah. Money does talk. And in today's era, if it's a sample and Drake jump on it, it's going to get clear.
Yeah.
They're going to clear
that.
Soul
got bit with that same bug on their first album.
Yeah. They cleared everything except the joint from the Turtles.
Mm. Yeah, they got hit. They got hit bad.
And even more to the splice point, I saw something recently where somebody grabbed a whole bunch of samples on Splice, made a whole bunch of beats out of them, put them in the content ID system just so that when anybody else used those samples, they would get paid from their content ID system.
Wow.
Those are
and it's technically not breaking any laws either.
That's clever.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah.
But he has 100, this person has 195 albums on distribution. That's all they did. That's another thing you're going to run into with this. You know, people are going to be able to pay attention to this stuff. So.
It's only going to get to Lone's point.
And imagine buying a sample pack and then you can't use it. You know what I mean?
That's petty to upload all them albums.
That's that Martin Shkreli, whatever his name is.
Shkreli.
Shkreli. Yeah.
That's that mind state.
Well, I mean, you know, it's only going to get, if you want to call it worse, it's only going to get more difficult, we'll say, as technology advances. So,
well, I'm interested to hear how the music turns out.
Yeah.
As far as being more creative and coming up with better ways to sample rather than using a blatant sample.
Yeah, they're always going to use blatant samples. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. Now that we're older, now that they're starting to... sample Boyz II Men and Jade and
who else?
Jodeci,
who else have I heard?
Brownstone. Now we're just like, I can't believe they did that.
Mint Condition.
Now we're in a place where we're like, I can't believe they did that to our music. Yeah. And it's like,
they took our jobs.
Like, remember what your parents said? This isn't music. And
I heard
they need
a
to
cold, and I can't remember who did it. It was a cold after seven sample. I cannot. I wish I could shout the person out. Somebody flipped after seven. I said, "Ooh wee, boy, that."
But they flipped it, or did they just blatantly bite it?
It's not the sample stuff that we talking about. It was an actual
look.
It was an actual
shout out to Ghostface Killah, but like I've just heard him sing over
right that whole song.
A whole song.
Definitely.
You know,
somebody was singing in the whole background.
For Holla. Like he didn't even take the vocals out. There's no loop.
They didn't do anything.
It's just him singing over La 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 Means I Love You.
I wonder who produced that.
I feel like that was a challenge. He just got in there and be like, I bet you can't do this. He's like, watch this.
Yo.
Put the song on. It don't matter what it is.
And I remember when that came out being like, hey, Ghost is a fool, but this works.
I didn't like it.
I mean, I don't know, man. I liked it, man.
That was off the Pretty Tony album. I remember that.
Yeah. Shout out to that. That's a very good great album, by the way. All right, man. Let's continue on. Let's talk about a lot of tracks. Tracks upon tracks upon tracks. I don't know about this one, but we'll see. So Game released his track list for Drillmatic. It's 30 songs. All by Hit-Boy. Produced by Hit-Boy. And Lone, I have a question for you as it relates to this. Two in a row. First of all, 30 tracks is a lot. But do you think
his last album was a track heavy too?
Yeah, it was a double album.
It was a good album. No, I give it to him. That last album.
What was the name of that joint?
Was that Rap Music?
No.
What was the name of that album?
Was it the 1996 joint? Was that it?
Something
like
that.
It was something in between there.
Remember, he had a bunch of pregnant women on the cover.
It was something in between.
Was it a bunch of pregnant women?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, He's right. But I can't remember the name of the album.
It was actually a good album.
I might have to Google
Born to Rap.
Born to Rap.
Yeah, that was
That's it. But this one comes out.
It was somebody behind a fence on that cover.
That's the one with all the women on it, right?
The one you just named is the one with all the women on it. But it's 30 tracks on this one, all produced by Hit-Boy. And I've only heard, I guess, the Easy joint, unless he's released something else that
I mean, Easy's almost a year old.
Yeah, that's super.
And that, isn't that the one with Kanye West?
Yeah.
That's probably not. I didn't see that in the.
Was it on the track list? I didn't.
Because there's no guests on the entire track list.
Well, you know how that goes, though. They might just pop up. But
well, yeah. I mean, I know.
It says he says Drillmatic, the real album of the year, out everywhere at midnight on Friday. I promise you, it's going to be 30 for 30, no skips. As Hit-Boy would say,
that's what they all say.
It's a 30 clip.
You're supposed to be proud of your own stuff.
But my question for Lone. Is with Hit-Boy doing 30 records, can he pull this off with a cohesive sound with 30 joints? Now 30 beats is a lot. That's a lot of beats to keep cohesive for an album. Does it even matter? You know what I'm saying? Because that's tough, bro. 30 beats to make a cohesive album, or will it be purposely all over the place? We don't know.
It depends on the producer.
Well, I think Hit-Boy is very versatile. I'm just saying, I just think it's hard to get 30 records together and make an album and make it cohesive.
He's the executive producer, though, or did he produce everything as well?
This started off as a Hit-Boy and Game project, unless something has changed.
That's executive produced by Hit-Boy, but I don't know if it's...
Because it started off with just them. He was supposed to make all the beats.
But either way, I can still answer the question. So I feel like, yes, yes, it can be done, and I feel like it... I think it just depends on his approach. But
that's a lot, man.
But don't get me wrong. This is like four projects. Like you can put four projects out with 30 tracks. And actually, if he was smart, he would. Like this is actually not even smart.
That was going to be my next question.
You're playing the streaming game, though.
Yeah, but the thing is you can...
That formula is getting old.
Here's the thing: you can put out 30 songs now, or you can put out 30 songs over 2 years, and then have something ready to drop in 2 years. Like you don't have to drop it all at once. But I get what you're saying because people do that. If these are just throwaway tracks, but Game doesn't seem like he's that type of artist that. You know, like he always thinks that his product is
he's
that.
Very braggadocious,
and he's true, and he's you know he tries. I give
with
him that.
30 tracks, he's probably got 1,000 name drops.
I was going to ask you how many drops.
It's
got
to be at least 1,000 name drops.
If somebody's going to count them out there, watch what I tell you. Somebody is going to count.
We need
them.
To have a counter that goes through and picks up every name drop on this.
Gotta
last
be somebody
album.
Young. Gotta be like the Gobernator. Put him on it. He's young.
But I don't know. I think. I don't know, man. It's just too much. Like it's just too much. I don't have the patience to listen to this. I mean, shouts to E-40. He puts out like 100 tracks on records.
Yeah, but he
too.
Puts them out as three different albums.
Yeah.
Not always.
I mean, they release on the same day.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that one album that had like 48 songs on it.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, that's right. He'll just have two different covers, but it'll be the same album.
So I don't know. I think. I guess it just depends on his approach. Maybe like Jay said, maybe he's going for the streaming attempt for it. Maybe it is super, who knows? Maybe this is the greatest 30 track album of all time. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's the more you add on to it, the harder it gets to be cohesive. If you're really going to try to make an album versus make just like a playlist of songs.
Or are you just rapping? I mean, it's a difference of if, like you just said, making an album or mm-hmm. is it just a bunch of rap songs?
Like, is this Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers or whatever?
No,
or is this just like one of Wayne's mixtapes?
Right. I think I'm going to go with that. I don't think there's going to be that much attention to detail from a, I guess, cohesive standpoint. It's daunting to me when I think 30 joints.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
for
too
a
much.
Project.
It's almost like homework at this point. If you put out, you put out a 30 track album, I feel like the teacher gave me a whole lot of homework.
Yeah.
And I'm about to cheat. I'm about to skim it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really feel like getting all the way through this project because I already know it's a Anthony Hill to climb to finish the album. So 9 times out of 10, I'll probably listen to maybe 8 songs one day.
Come back.
I might listen to a totally different project, then come back trying to, you know what I'm saying? Trying to piece it together.
Do you know how long it's going to take to digest this?
A long time.
But what if it's really under the new format? You know, think about all the young boys. They do
like 3 minute songs.
Not even three minutes.
It's like a minute and a half. Yeah, that's what Dopinator said too.
You know, they're doing verse hook
out.
Verse, and they're done.
We out of there. Yeah.
Some are just versing out.
Skits. You know what I'm saying? Like,
He might have some skits on there, but I mean,
he's got a couple or one.
I don't know. Game. I'm not going to front. He's a nice rapper. He's pretty good, but he feels himself a little too much.
Oh, wait a second here. This has no. Okay, so there's 30 songs, but there's a break in between track 18 and 19. This is called Drake with the Braids Interlude. So he's not even including the interlude as one of the track numbers. So
it's Drake with the Braids Interlude.
So it's probably 30 songs of rapping.
Yeah,
lots
30,
of words.
30 songs.
Because what was that one song he had? 48 bars?
No, that was.
He just went after everybody.
It's a different. 300 bars.
300 bars. I'm way off.
It's a different take on name dropping.
I mean, I don't know. Drillmatic, and that's different in itself for you to call it being an LA rapper.
Yeah.
Using drill and then Matic. So
you'll put Matic
probably
on something.
It's probably Nas reference.
Oh, I know this.
I'm sure it's a mixture of both, I'm sure. But I mean, I don't know. I don't really have high expectations. I will give it a listen, just to see where it's at. But 30 tracks is just a little excessive, in my personal opinion.
That's a lot, man. If I see any videos, I'll watch them. That's what it's come to.
I'll be honest, because Thursday night, you know, going into Friday morning, that's when I go ahead and kind of reload and see what's going on, and I listen to all. You know, the little releases.
Might be some club records for you.
And I got to find out what's to freshen up the sound in the clubs. I don't know if there'll be anything on there for this, but I don't know. Like, maybe I'll just sit and play, like, you know, Call of Duty and listen to this entire album and see what's really good. You know, like, sometimes that's just how it is. Like, I kick back and, you know, after a certain point and fire up the controller, find something that I can play and I don't have to listen to.
Right.
And then I'll just listen to this whole album. That's kind of what I did with Morale in the Hospital. Actually, I did that during a workout. And I got through most of it during a workout. And then it was just maybe three or four tracks left when I just came in to sit down. So that's, you got almost just, if you really care or you want to say, okay, I'm going to give this project a chance. And it's kind of rough because we want to know exactly what's going on, and it's like, it's hard listening to all this damn music.
That's what I was saying. It's so hard.
Because it'll be a week where maybe three or four things come out, and I might get to one of them.
But everything, I think for me specifically, it's harder too, because I do a lot of things media related that require me to pay attention to stuff like the audio version of it. So even if I'm playing a game online, I'm editing video or I'm doing something like that, or I don't have a lot of time where I'm just chilling and I can listen to a 30 track game album. I just don't have it. And I just don't have the desire to either. That's why, give me a couple videos, you know, give me a couple snippets of something that sounds super fire that I can be like, all right, maybe I can go get it. Maybe, you know, that's
here lately, I haven't even been able to make it through a regular number track listing. Yeah. I tried to listen to the NBA YoungBoy just so I can know what's going on.
Bless your heart.
And I didn't get through it.
I hate the fact that I don't have a chance to listen to as much music as I used to.
I do too.
I don't have the space for it.
Not the space. I don't even have the desire. Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. I mean, when Kendrick came out, I wanted to listen to it because I know he's going to put out something that's stellar.
And also, just thinking about it, we're not buying CDs. We're just playing songs off our phone. We don't have the same investment.
Just playing them.
Yeah.
We don't have the same investment. I don't drive. I don't have a 30-minute commute back and forth to work.
Yep, that too.
I don't even listen. I listen to podcasts on the way to work and on the way home.
Oh, yeah, me too. Even when I do have a chance and I got a little bit more time, I don't want to listen to music. I'd rather listen to people talking.
It used to hit different when you put your job money into going to go buy music, and then you become one with it because, one, we weren't bombarded with so much. You could get to know the project, put it in your Discman or whatever, and you know, like really listen to it. Now, it's just like even being a creative, when you put something out as a creative now, it's like people will hear it and say, oh, man, that's dope. When's the next one? That's like a week later. You've done all this work to put a project out, release something. And I swear to you, within a week and a half, 2 weeks, this is on any level.
Already. You think people ain't like, farming at the mouth for another Kendrick album already?
Already. Already. So I know if it happens on a smaller scale, you can imagine what it's like for, you know, artists of that level. That's the next one?
That's what I've said this to many people. Like, I think it's, you're going to put out a project and nobody knows you, or even if albums is really a thing for an established artist at this point.
I'm EP'd out.
Super.
Yeah, I'm EP'd out.
Like super established, like singles are the way to go.
Just, Usher is the king of that. Usher's been putting out a single or two a year for the past like three, four years. Fire.
And the thing is, don't get me wrong, there's always going to be a place for albums for certain people and depending on who likes your music, but the grand majority of everybody we just don't have space for it.
If you're an up and coming artist and you, I'm not going to say wasting, you're putting your effort into making a project that has 19 or 20 records, fam, in today's climate, I just don't see it being appreciated. And that's the sad thing, but I just don't see it being appreciated.
And like Chris Brown just had a concert here this past week. A lot of people were complaining about not knowing the music that he was performing. And it's because he has a 30-track album.
Oh, duh.
So even people coming to see you in concert
didn't
have time enough to digest this 30-song album.
And that came out
to the point
when?
Where they're tired of you.
The new album.
2 years ago?
No, the new album came out like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm thinking he had another one that had mad tracks on it.
Yeah, well, his last three or four albums have been like that.
Okay, that's
format.
What I was thinking. Okay.
But like they were saying that they didn't know a lot of the songs he was performing. Granted, it's because he has 30 tracks on it. So they wanted to hear old stuff. So generally when an artist tours, you're supposed to promote your new album because you've already made money off the other stuff. You want to make money off this new stuff. Granted, you're still going to give them some of that old stuff, but if you're giving somebody too much to digest and be familiar with, it may not be as inviting or as rememberable as, you know what I'm saying, if it was a shorter amount of songs.
I tell you what, if I'm an artist and I have access to all of these analytics, then I go ahead and base my set list off of those analytics. You know, I mean, I could do a couple of songs that I think are dope. And maybe transition them into the crowd favorites. But, you know, when you put out 30-song albums, what winds up happening is people wind up making a playlist because they have the access to do that with depending on if they have Spotify or Tidal or however they listen to their music. They can, you know, order and delete songs from your particular album and turn it into their nine. Yeah. They can turn it into a 9-song masterpiece.
Yep.
You know, from your 30 songs that you gave them.
I will.
You know, so if you're an artist and you do this, you know, the tools are available for you.
Yeah.
Hell, they're available to everybody to where you can see, oh, what are the top songs that are streamed by this person? Well, if I got these 10 songs, I better at least do these 10 songs. And then, you know, I can sprinkle in, you know, personal favorites, things I'm trying to promote off of my new album. Because that's been how it's worked this entire time. When you go to when you go see somebody and they start talking about something. Yeah, I'm going to do some stuff on the new album. That's when people go get T-shirts and buy hot dogs. Like, no, fam, we are here to hear the hits.
The hits.
I give him peas, though, because I did see a video where there was a three joints would pop up on the screen. And based off the crowd's reaction,
they would vote on what song he would perform.
You know, he performed based off the vote. And it was all of his hit records, the joints that they came to, like you were talking about, all those joints. So I will give him peas for that because it was interactive, and the crowd was telling him which ones they wanted. You know, so he's smart in that regard.
I think if they're going to do these 30-song album drops, they should do a fan favorite version of the album, too, where they cut it down to, like, 12.
I'm with Lone.
But that's the thing.
That's like, what everybody can do individually.
Yeah, you can do that. Like, if I wind up liking 9 songs on this Game album, I'm going to make a I'm going to A&R the project myself.
That's a terrible percentage, too, out of 30 records.
That's failing.
But you know what? It is, but you know what? Like, I come from that's an bad era where it's like, look, Illmatic had 9 songs on it.
Joe did.
You know what I'm saying? So if I want to listen to an album, you really only get between 9 and 13 songs back in the day. And so, like, when you, if I can take 9 to 13, that mean, and make a hit record out of your loaded project that you gave me.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it's not a bunch of throwaways, but I'm just saying, like, I don't have the time.
It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the approach. Just make a bunch of songs, throw them out there, and people like whatever they like.
And just see what happens. Yeah.
If you can catch 13 hot ones out of your 30,
I mean, you're talking pretty good. Yeah. You're talking to somebody that put out a 100 track beat tape like a year and a half ago. So.
This is true.
You ain't touring that beat tape though.
Nope, and it wasn't meant for that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So. Hey, that's a little different.
Long will take the bag, though, if you want me to tour that beat tape. Just so
I couldn't
know.
Even imagine being at a concert where somebody did 100 songs.
No, I'd be asleep.
Yeah, literally.
Or I'll leave. Asleep.
Yeah, especially my project.
Hey, man, let's.
I mean, it's made for that, so.
Yeah.
Listen, it actually is. Let's shout out the partners, man.
All right. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Thanks, Long.
He did it first.
Hey, yo. This dude right here, man. Yo, Red Hawk, remind him to tell you what that is at some point. Really bad. All right.
He said it's really bad.
Really bad. Shout out to the chat, too. I've been neglecting my...
How y'all doing? Still with us?
Chat reader.
This is such a weird kind of format because we can... Like, none of this has to be in the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's like...
Yeah.
But I got you.
Anyways.
All right, man. Let's talk Weezy F Baby real quick before we get back to our producer.
Weasel F Baby.
Did I say Weasel?
Weasels.
No, you didn't say Weasel.
Thank you. You normally would be like, yeah. But thank you, man.
Nah, I'm not that type of guy.
So Drake had a concert. It was like a reunion concert with Wayne and...
Drake?
and Nicki. He had some strong words of, he basically gave him his flowers, you know, said he changed music. He's the most talented rapper ever, you know, and he's pretty much that guy.
He's not the most talented rapper.
I knew y'all was going to, that's why I picked this one.
He did but change music.
I want to play devil's advocate because if you look at all of the churn running around here now, they look just like Wayne. Now I said that I was able to say that 10 years ago. And they still got the dreads attached. They look just like Wayne.
Why do you always make this comparison?
It works, though. I'm serious, though. I think
you
that's
think they all look like Wayne?
They do. I think, well, I don't mean look like Wayne, literally. Don't do that, Long. I mean inspired by Wayne's look when Wayne was coming up. Because Wayne used to have the dreads attached. That's what he
still
was.
Does.
Thank you. Well, they look like, it's more like Whiting Fish now, but you know what I mean.
Okay. When we talking about tattoos,
Tupac,
more
you look confused?
Tupac,
you know,
started the tattoo trend.
But I'm just saying, though, when you look at the kids, they had to have been inspired. But look at Kodak Black.
And F them kids.
Yeah.
What do you
do that.
What do you mean by that, though? I guess
bro,
I,
look
I don't,
at,
Co- I don't,
look at Kodak Black.
No, I mean,
Black.
I want you to go a little deeper into this because I don't fully understand what you mean by this statement. No.
Okay, so when you look, when I look at Kodak Black, right?
Okay.
I see inspiration from Wayne.
And how he looks?
Yes.
So like his hair?
I see
everything.
Inspiration from South Florida.
I don't really see how he looks.
I disagree with y'all, man. I think a lot of these
look
kids
like gunplay.
Grew up on Wayne
I do agree with that. When we're talking about look, though, I'm not necessarily going to say that all the way because you have to realize with him being from the South,
yep.
That's how a lot of people look in the South.
It is, but
that's not necessarily.
I see drill rappers in Chicago that look like that. I'm just saying, and I'm sure they were listening to Wayne.
Wayne is
point.
A big influence on some of the musical geographic whatever is going on right now. I do agree with that.
And pop culture.
I don't think everybody sounds like Wayne though.
That's different. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But that's not what you were saying though, right?
No, I'm talking about just Wayne's swag when he was at his apex. I think that inspired a lot of the younger artists that are, you know, popping now. I really do. So when I see Drake giving him these flowers, I'm not saying he the GOAT or anything, but I think he's justified on some of the things that he's saying as it relates to Wayne's impact, overall impact on the culture. I think it's there.
I mean, give him that.
I mean, I think he can feel however he wants about that too. You know, like if he wants to give that to Wayne, I think that's fine. You know,
Jay,
I mean?
Moore, you shook your head as soon as I read the comments, man. Cut
no,
it out,
I
man.
You know, look, I even though I haven't been particularly impressed with the last couple of maybe two or three Wayne projects,
I think he said Carter 6 coming too.
Yeah, I after listening to Carter 5, there's no reason for me to be excited about that. But I mean, the thing is, Wayne has torn up some of his, like, the guest verses, some of the stuff joints he's been on.
Yes. He's been getting off on those.
Been getting busy.
The bar's still there.
You know, Tyler one was dope.
But yes, sir. It was just like, I think it started with the Carter 4. I think we talked about that, and I was like, I was bored by it.
He needs to find a different bag. I'm tired of every album being called the Carter. He need to jump in a different lane. I mean, why not?
He tried, remember?
No, he tried.
I know what you're doing.
No, with
do
the Rock album?
No, he. It's not even that. He put out another album that was not the Carter 5.
I have to put it on.
I'm not a human being?
No. Was it was between, tape, I don't know if it was between Carter 4 and Carter 5 or after Carter 5 he put out an album. Because like I said, like his solo projects have just been kind of coming and going. Let's just be honest. But... You know, when you want to talk about longevity, you know, think about it. Lil Wayne has been a part of, you know, since the Hot Boys. You're talking about 98, 99.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He was a kid.
So you're talking about anybody who has maintained a level of relevancy for 20 years, you have to give them their props. I don't care what you think personally definitely. About the music or whatever.
I agree.
You know, it is so hard in this particular, in pop culture in general, for them to care about you after your 4 years. I always have the theory that anybody who's gotten hot or caught one, you got 4 years to make it happen before they'll be like, yeah, we really don't care what you're talking about now. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Anybody that can outlast that 4 years, you know, at this point, and honestly, I don't even know if it's 4 years anymore because now it's damn near a year with how disposable things are.
Yeah, great. You know, I don't know who any of these rappers are on the cover of XXL.
You know, and the thing is, you can go back 4 years. If you look back at any of these freshman covers,
yeah,
there are people who took it to the next level, and then there are people who are like, oh, I wonder what that person is doing right now.
I think you can speak to that on probably all of them. Is there one that stands out where it was the one with Freddie Gibbs and Nipsey and who am I missing, man? That was a good one. That one had a lot of.
I mean, the one
power.
With Mac and Crit and all that. That was the best
one. That
one
had Big Sean on it too.
Big Sean, yeah, that was a good one.
The Mac Crit. Who else was on? Like Kendrick or something? I don't even know.
But you know who did not make the freshman list? Drake and Nicki.
I think they declined it though.
It might have been, really? But maybe because of the spacing and the time. I don't know, but I was just like. You know, for this thing to be a thing, and I don't know if they declined it or whatever. I've heard different stories, but I'm like, how did they not? I remember them doing, maybe it was a couple months after for that year that they put Drake and Nicki on a cover with each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just crazy how the music is so disposable at this point, especially considering we're not buying anything. You know, everybody is just streaming whatever's hot and they have access to watching it on YouTube. And then if you wind up liking it, you do. But, you know, if you don't, then it just winds up. I look at all the analytics. I'm like when I create the video playlist for the establishment where I work and I see where like, oh, I remember this. It only streamed 10 million times. Now, that sounds like a lot. But, you know, when songs that are actual hits, they stream 350 million, 400 million mm-hmm. times. Sometimes
that's a lot of streams,
sometimes
bro.
You see a billion by a certain artist streams, you know. And so this is really where the music industry has gone to. So if you're only pulling in 2 and 3 million streams, I think we would love to have those numbers for our podcast. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, when you look at YouTube and you see what the popular videos are and how they really move, like, it is so easy to get lost in the shuffle, considering there is so much content being created right now.
Oh, yeah.
You get the point. But shout out to Wayne, man. Wayne is definitely walking around, as they say, a whole legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
like
take
I said,
that from
still got, you know, he's on the remix with the Jim Jones record, We Set Trends. You know, so here it is, 2022. You know, Lil Wayne still making it happen. And when you consider he's been I mean, really, when you add everything up with the before the Cash Money thing really got popping, you're talking about somebody who's got a quarter of a century in the game.
Yeah. I put him on my down south Mount Rushmore.
Not mad at that.
Somebody asks which five would be your top five down south Mount Rushmore. I said Scarface, Master P, Andre 3000, Lil Wayne. And who was the last one I said?
That's a nice list.
Technically four. You know, Mount Rushmore is four. So
yeah. Well, I was just like, you used to say top five type stuff. So
yeah.
But yeah, definitely them.
I'd just add CeeLo. Other than that, I'm with you.
Put Big Boy on before CeeLo.
Yeah,
I'll
definitely.
I fool with CeeLo. All right, let's go ahead and jump into jump back into. Our producer list. We left off last week giving Crisis his flowers. He scored well, too. I think he ended with a 7.6 last week.
Yep.
Now we get into some Griselda. Derringer. Now, it's pretty self-explanatory on his.
We don't need to really go over.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. I have a question for y'all, though.
I mean, give people a couple just because, you know.
Oh, well, we can go to
Derringer, Conway the Machine.
Yeah, just let
Benny
know.
The Butcher.
Tana,
West Side Gun.
Tana Talk 3. He was all over that. That's one of Benny's best albums. What? Uh-oh, that's news right there. We have to get that
Once
we get through this last topic. Good looking out, Terry. But no, he's all over Tana Talk 3, and that's considered, you know, Benny's. I don't want to, if it's not the best, it's top two.
Tana Talk?
Yeah, he got production all over that. But now we know who it is with him and West Side. Whatever.
Basically, you know, if you know Griselda, you know that sound.
Did we put Irv Gotti on this list?
I don't know.
I can't remember. He's been out here in the news.
Pretty angry.
He's mad. Yeah, sure. Man, is.
What's your name? Must got that snap back.
Just like hats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well played. All right, man, let's go into influence. Impact on peers and upcoming producers.
Or was he impacted on previous producers?
Impact on upcoming producers. I'm going to give him a solid 3.
Mm. Yeah, I'll give him a 4.
I'll give him a 4.
I'm going to give him a 4 because I do see some people trying to here and there bite that wave.
Mm.
That grimy wave.
Yeah, but it's not his wave, so.
I love Long for that. I love
That's
Long
why
for
I was
that.
Saying, is he
I love
influenced by previous producers?
He definitely is.
You know what I'm saying?
I love you for that, Long. All right, versatility. How versatile are the hip-hop records, Long?
I give him a 5 myself.
The hip-hop records.
4.
Well, I haven't heard him outside of Griselda.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Terry?
A 5.
Did 4, Jay?
Sure did.
Versatility? I'm going to go a 3.
I am.
Give him a 4.
I do 3 as
well. I'm going to say 4 because it's not average.
Now, this doesn't mean that his stuff is bad.
Yeah, that's not what that means.
That's why we have these categories, y'all.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3 on the versatility. All right, collaborators, different hip hop styles and artists producers work with. Again,
3.
Three artists.
I'll give him a point for
it's
every artist.
It's more than that now. Don't do that. No. It's more than this.
Yeah, there's a
that.
Couple other Griselda artists.
So, don't do so that. We'll say,
there's some
don't,
features.
So don't. We'll say the Black Soprano family then.
We'll count them. That's like 4 members in that. Can we give him a point for each member?
I'll give him a 4.
I'll give him a 4.
I'm a god. That was petty. That was brilliant, though. I'll meet Terry at 4. That's
gotcha.
Petty. That's petty.
4.
Point for each member. Wow.
Yeah, I'm going 3 again.
Okay.
Hit making big hits and cult classics.
Got some cult classics with Benny.
I'll go
6 or 7.
I'll give him a 6 on that just because if you know, you know.
6.5. Nah, I'm going to keep it at 6.
You type it in.
I don't want to make the numbers funky.
I mean, at the end, it's got a decimal at the end anyway. Yeah. So
we're going towards a hog tie.
6. Give him 6.5.
I'll go 6. What's the half for?
Because.
I don't know.
What'd you say, 6? Consistency of quality material released. This is the actual.
I give him an 8 on that one.
Now, he's consistent. He's consistent. I'll give him that. I like 8. He's definitely consistent. Pretty much sculpted their sound with the Alchemist.
Yeah, I give him an 8. Pretty solid, I guess.
He's solid.
Dang.
Boy, dang, Red August. Come back in.
I mean, he doesn't really drop anything that's not, that doesn't fit for what they do.
Facts. No. I agree. Body of work. How great is the overall body of work?
7.
8.
Got some heat.
He does have heat, but he's not their only producer.
True. True.
You like the stuff that they do with Derringy more or Alchemist?
See, I don't know. I like some of the
Conductor Williams stuff too, though.
Shouts to D. Will.
I kind of lean towards Alchemist as it relates to just the overall Griselda count, but I know Derringer got heat, so I ain't trying to play him.
Yeah,
I'll go 7. I'm not gonna play him because he does have heat.
Say, Mike. I think I'm gonna probably go 7.
Yeah, he got some heat now. August said 8. Okay.
How often are the songs great from their beats?
I gave him a 7.
I gave him an 8 on that one. Actually, no,
great,
I gave him a 7.
Great
I gave him
records.
A 7.
I'll go 7. I mean, that's above average. You know what I mean? I could go 6, but I'm going to go 7.
I'll stay with y'all. I'll stay with y'all on that one.
Melodic elements and or samples. I mean, that's what he's kind of known for.
Yeah.
Give him an 8.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Red said 8, I think.
I think I'm going to do. This is interesting because he does this sound super well. And he's in his pocket. I'm going to go 8.
Yeah, he does.
I'll meet Terry at 7. I like it.
Drums. Drum programming.
Well, if it has drums, a lot of them don't.
I just go solid
6.
5.
I give him a 6.
I'll go 5 on the drums.
Above average, so I still give him a 6.
I'm with Lone on the drums.
You know what, though? If I'm thinking about this, too, we should probably factor in, like, it's not necessarily how much drums we use. It's also, like...
It's the programming.
It's how we program it. So it can be minimal. Minimal's not necessarily bad.
Minimal works for them. Mm-hmm. And everything that he does with that.
I'll go ahead and go 7 on that.
I respect it. I'll stay at...
At 5, right?
I'll go to 6.
I'm going to go 6. I can't go 7.
I'll go to 6.
I can't go 6. There's just nothing there a lot of times.
Yeah, that's what's holding me back from going any higher. I mean, now, when it hits, it hits.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think he does a good job of it. It's just, it's never anything that stands out. It's never anything I'm like, man, the drums are great on this. It's just kind of like, where are the drums typically?
Mm-hmm. So here's a question of the night. Coming in at 5.9, we've never set a limit for a hog tie.
I mean, he came in above average.
Yeah. All right. Anything. Hog ties is if you hit like a 4.
Yeah. Okay.
That's I mean, Shoddy Red had a 5.6.
Okay.
Ann Banks had a 5.1. Apollo Brown had a 5.7. Traxter had a 5.6. So those are the ones in a 5. And a lot of those producers are because they didn't have their sound was super
dated.
Well,
they hadn't produced anything newer.
Their sound was like one specific.
One pocket, yeah.
One pocket.
Derringer is one pocket.
Yeah.
He is.
So they all have that in common.
I think our list is very, very much related to, the versatility.
Yeah.
Aspect and what can you do with it.
I definitely vouch for how we broke it down. I like the categories. It keeps you honest. So... Yeah, man.
All right, cool. This is kind of related to what we were talking about earlier, too. It says, traditional multi-instrumentalist versus today's sample pack bread maker. Mm. Is the construction of the song as equally as important as the finished product? Is it fair for musicians to look down on those who lack chops and use samples to get out their ideas?
I used to be growing up in, involved in music and playing multiple instruments and learning how to read music and all that, I was a music, I can admit, we talking about admitting when you were wrong earlier, I was a music snob as it related to that because of the time I put in to learn and, you know, learn how to do all that stuff. As the older I got, I started to move away from that because I know everybody has to express their freedom how they want to. So I can't be out here, you know, just pointing my finger down at everybody that's not doing it the way I would, you know, per se, how I would like to do it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be that guy. But there was a snob in me for a while because I know, you know, what it took to learn those instruments and the time that it took to practice and learn how to read and sight read and all. It takes a lot to do that stuff. So, you know, that's where I was at with it. But I've come out of that now. You know, I used to be that person. But I don't really, it didn't really bother me like it used to, I'll be honest. You know, but that questionnaire, I would have went off if it was, you know, X amount of years ago. 100%.
Yeah, I feel like, I've always felt like it's one of those things where sampling in general just kind of gets
watered down.
Well, historically, there was a big push for people to even accept sampling as like this,
an art form.
Yeah, like an art form or whatnot, you know. And I come from being able to play instruments as well, so it's I see the background of. I feel like two things can be true at the same time. I feel like that's like my mantra of 2022. But it's like,
if sampling is hard now, be clear.
Like,
you know what I mean? It's hard. I mean,
it takes a lot to, one, be good at sampling. It takes a lot to be good at playing any particular instrument. Not even talking about playing multiple instruments on top of that, right? And to be able to play those instruments the way that makes sense for them. I don't like the idea of looking down on somebody who is an expert at their craft. So if you're an expert at sampling, then you're great. If you're an expert at playing the trumpet or the keys or whatever, then you're great. I don't really see, towards the last few years, I don't really see as many people that are like making that claim of like, you know, you still see it here and there, but. No, it's just, I think you just have to be super talented. What I will say is that musicians or samplers, if you will, music producers that can play instruments and can sample tend to be better at both.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree.
People that have a deep understanding, it's not just about being able to play an instrument. It's about understanding the theory, about understanding how to add any type of sound on top of what you're already sampling and everything like that too.
Chord progressions, how they work, you know,
going from different keys to another key and how to get in and out of it and stuff like that.
And now the reason I love this question is because he nailed it. There are, Alona can attest to this, there are programs now that have cut that entire portion of it out. Like there are literally programs now that will say, okay, I'm going to set you in this key right here, and you can go and play and do whatever you want. You'll never come out of key.
Yep.
There are, and a musician is thinking, I have to make sure I'm in the right key. One wrong note, and I'm out of the key. They've eliminated that. So then it goes back to the purist conversation and all that, because I enjoy working with producers or musicians. To me, the nerd in me, I love that. So if there's a bass player or somebody that plays keys or something like that, I get excited because I can't wait to get it all back and see how they took my vision and what they did with it. And then I can start doing this. I love that.
Because it's always different and they always take it somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And I do think the aspect to that, I feel like the tools that have been created, like now in Ableton, you can literally say, what key do you want to play in? You can be like, all right, C sharp. And be like, all right, do you want to be in minor, major, or one of the other bazillion that, you know, that are super advanced? You can set it, and then all the grids will literally highlight of what's in key. Now, that's cool if you want to stay in a key, but it does take out the element of like being able to know it and to be able to hear it and to be able to create and be able to bend the rules like in real time a little bit. So I feel like it's more so like just a tool to help. It helps everybody.
It does.
But it really helps the people that already know it because it's just a tool to help the workflow.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a good question.
That's a good question.
Just crazy slot. A is going to be in town, I believe.
Is it next? Yeah, next week.
What is next week?
It's next week. Okay.
Well, I don't know if he can even be on the show because I don't even know if we're even equipped to have anybody else on the show. But he can.
We got to get Slot a mic, though.
He can sit on the couch with Mike or something. Or
yeah, we got to. Slot is a person that needs a mic. We got to get him mic'd up. I need him to say hip hop like Kara.
Hip hop, pop.
Yeah, I need that.
Maybe he can join for like a post show segment or something. Or
we got to get Slot mic'd up before he go cook coaches.
But yep, Slotty Divock. But yeah, appreciate you guys for sticking around as always. Thank you.